The Big Bellied Yogi, where you don't need to be young, skinny, white, beautiful, or bendy to enjoy yoga, because yoga really is for everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. It's Emma Paulette here. I am your host, and of course, I have a big belly and I'm a yogi. And I wanted to share a bit more today about practicing yoga in a way that isn't physical, because obviously for a lot of people, maybe they feel their bodies are too big or not fit enough or not young enough or all those kind of reasons to not actually do yoga. But I just want to, of course, reinforce the fact that anyone can do yoga, because even if you're not able-bodied or not, you know, physically able for some reason, you can practice other elements of yoga. And there's 8 parts to yoga. And I've already discussed the yamas a few weeks ago, which is all about sort of how we treat other people and how we show up in the world, in terms of, you know, our kind of mental capacity and how we treat others. And today I wanted to talk about the niyamas, which are the ones that are about sort of self-discovery and looking after the self. And these are really interesting because a lot of them are practices that you probably do from time to time. Maybe you do them all the time, but you may not realize that you're actually practicing yoga when you do them. And these can be great ways to kind of build that personal discipline and structure in your life so that you're able to go out and do the things that you really want to do, and maybe give yourself the courage to go out and actually join a yoga class or, you know, change something in your life that needs changing. So there's 5 niyamas, and I am going to again try my Sanskrit pronunciation, but please, of course, forgive me if I'm not 100% there. I keep practicing and I keep studying, and, you know, we can all improve, and I'm going to keep improving. But I'm going to go through each of them and sort of give you some ideas of how you can practice each of these niyamas so that you can be practicing yoga on a daily basis, even if you feel like you can't physically practice or you're not able to practice physically every day. Maybe you love your weekly yoga class, but you're not getting to do much yoga at other times. So the first niyama is saucha. And saucha is about purity. So it's about sort of, traditionally it's kind of that pure body. So really treating your body with kind of a little bit of discipline in what you eat, really clean food, and also, you know, keeping your body on the outside really clean, and having, you know, real purity when it comes to your body. And the idea behind this is that when we have that pure body, it contributes to a clear and pure mind. And then, of course, along the way to finding that pure body, you're probably going to find other aspects of yoga, like pranayama, which is the breath work, or asana, which is the actual yoga poses, or meditation. Those things are going to come along probably as you search for that pure body. But I also want to think about it, of course, you know, the pure body contributes to a pure mind, but sometimes also, in my opinion, a pure mind helps to contribute to a pure body. So when we're looking after our mental health, it can become easier to look after our physical body. Sometimes when we go straight for the physical body stuff, we can get really caught up in it. Maybe I'm talking for myself, but, you know, get a little bit obsessive about it, and that can lead to declines in mental health. So it's about getting that balance right and finding what works for you. And I think, you know, I've talked about this in another episode, but if we get too obsessed with the pure body stuff, we can fall right into the diet culture trap of thinking that unless we look a certain way, or unless we weigh a certain amount, or unless we eat certain foods, we're not worthy. And I don't think that was the idea behind this niyama. I think it's more about, you know, really being able to connect with our bodies rather than necessarily having a perfect body or looking after our bodies perfectly. So, of course, some ways that you can practice saucha or purity is in food. Food makes a huge difference. And, you know, I don't know if you've done it before, but if you've done like a detox cleanse, or, you know, spent some time maybe on a really clean eating diet and you've noticed that you do have quite a clear mind, and that's very helpful. But of course, if being that way is stressful for you, that's not helping a clear mind. So you've got to get that balance right. Of course, you also want to think about emotional purity. And maybe that's being honest with the people around you about how you're feeling, or, you know, having a good cry to clear out some of those emotions that you might be carrying. So really being true to yourself about how you actually feel. And of course, thoughts. So thoughts is a big one. You know, we have tens of thousands of thoughts a day. Most of them we don't even notice. Most of them we've thought the day before. So they're repetitive patterns that we think about, and we have the same thoughts over and over again. And so of course, if you're not noticing the thoughts, it's hard to change them, or it's hard to make them more pure. But try and think about it. You know, if you are constantly thinking bad things about yourself, you know, try and be a bit more pure in your thoughts about yourself. Try and be less damaging and more encouraging. Maybe if a lot of your thoughts are judging other people, perhaps there's a change you can make there and make your thoughts a little bit more pure. So I think when we talked about the yamas a few weeks ago, practicing those is going to help you with those pure thoughts about other people, hopefully pure thoughts about yourself. Think about ahimsa, non-harming, those kind of things. And like, I'll give you a personal example of this. When I was deeply into diet culture and thought that the only way that I was worthy was to have a smaller body, or have, you know, fit into a certain size, when I would see women with larger bodies wearing really fashionable clothes, sometimes I would think to myself, oh, who does she think she is wearing that? Especially if they were showing a bit of skin. And it used to be very judgmental in my mind. I'd be thinking, you know, who let you leave the house looking like that? And that is totally my own problem. Like, that's got nothing to do with those, you know, whoever else I was thinking about. That's my impure thought. And as I worked on my own body shame and my own body image and helped to learn to love myself more unconditionally, I remember one day I was driving down the street and I saw this larger bodied woman wearing this gorgeous jumpsuit, brightly colored. You know, it was short sleeves, her arms were out, but she was totally just rocking this jumpsuit. And I remember driving past her and thinking, you look friggin' amazing. I am just in love with you, kind of thing. And as I drove past her and as I had the thought, I was like, oh, I never used to think that about people wearing, you know, with larger bodies. And so, I mean, it's a bit shameful to admit that, but that's a thought process that I've gone through. And so over healing myself, using some of the yamas to kind of heal my own personal stuff, I have learned to then be less judgmental of others. And so that's kind of how saucha can fit into your sort of purity of thoughts. This is something I want to talk about as well, is media, especially, I guess, social media and even TVs and things. But that was one of the biggest things that I did to help purify my thoughts and help purify my emotions, and that was to stop following people that made me feel like shit about myself and start following more people that made me feel great about myself. And you know, that example I just said about the woman who wore this amazing jumpsuit, what I had done over a period of time was curate my social media feed. So I saw more women with larger bodies wearing amazing clothes, rocking it, being confident, showing the world that you can be, you know, in love with yourself and happy with yourself and confident, and you know, live the life you want no matter what size body you are. And so curating my social media page, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, meaning I unfollow things that I don't want to see that make me feel bad about myself, and I start to follow more of the things that I want to see of more of, can help with that feeling of purity and of feelings good about myself and good about other people. So I hope that's helpful. The second niyama is santosha, and this is all about contentment. So contentment, you know, those, I remember, you know, talking with a friend when I was a teenager and sort of saying that my goal in life was to feel content. And I sort of thought, maybe that's how you feel when you're in heaven. It's just that everything is okay. It's nothing to worry about. Like life is, well, maybe not when you're in heaven, but you know, life's just going along beautifully and you don't have to worry and everything's flowing and all that kind of thing. And I just think there's something very special about being content. But we're not taught to be content in our world, are we? We're taught that we never have enough and our house needs to be bigger and we need to work harder and we need more money. We need more holidays. We need more, more, more. And it's really hard to just feel content. But when we are truly content, that we can really feel those moments of joy. And I hope you've experienced this. I know that I have. You know, when you're really in the present moment, nothing maybe that special is going on, but perhaps you're with your family or you're looking at a beautiful view or something like that, and you're able to just feel joy because there's nothing wrong in this moment. Now this, you know, we're not saying with Santhosha that we have to, you know, like everything and we have to fake it and pretend we're enjoying everything so that we can feel content. No. But what we do want to practice more of is that feeling of acceptance. So just before I started recording this, I did an Instagram story about how the weather's been so bad in Albany where I live. And I know that there are other people in Australia that are in lockdown at the moment, which must make it 10 times worse. But we've had probably the wettest, windiest, most ferocious winter in this town in over 20 years. And everyone's feeling a bit down. But we can't change the weather. We can't even leave and go to Bali and go on a beautiful holiday at the moment. So we're stuck with it. So you could wake up every morning and go, oh, life's shit. And please believe me, I'm not perfect. I've done that some mornings. But we have to accept the weather for what it is. And we have to learn to know that this will pass. You know, it's not winter all the time. It's not lockdown all the time. And even though that's very hard to hear in the moment, sometimes it can be truly helpful because we can remember, oh yeah, winter changes every year. You know, particularly in Victoria, you've come in and out of lockdown. You haven't stayed there. So I'm not trying to make you say that everything's okay and faking it till you make it. Please feel what you need to feel, but also accept it and know that it will pass. So some of the things that we can do to help us with acceptance is to practice things like forgiveness. So letting go of the idea the past can be any different or the present can be any different, and just, you know, forgiving the situation or a person. And I also want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to know that you have enough. Now you might want more, and that's, you know, that's human nature to want more, but probably if you've got time for this podcast and you know you live in Australia or another Western country, you do have enough. You're still alive. You've got a roof over your head. You've got food on the table. You have enough to live, right? And you probably have enough to thrive. So just sit with that for a moment and think about how that feels. Are you kind of fighting me in your head? Are you like, no, I don't? Or does it feel almost relaxing to know that you do have enough? What about thinking about the fact that you do enough? So, you know, maybe you want to sit on the couch and watch TV for the rest of the day, but you can't because you've got a list a mile long. Well, what if you just accepted that you already do enough? Would that be okay? How would that work for you? So thinking about that, do you already do enough? And one of my mantras at the moment, I just need to find it because I've got it written down, is what gets done today was meant to be done today. Nothing more and nothing less. How does that sit with you? Can you be content with what you've done today? So that's a really interesting one. And I want to temper that with the next niyama, which is tapas. And that actually is a Sanskrit word that translates to heat or fire. So although I want you to feel content every day and every moment. You can also have the fire to, you know, change things by creating discipline, or, you know, by doing some daily habits, or by, you know, working on a project so that you know that it's going to change something in your life. And it's okay to have your fire in your belly for that. But at the same time, you want santhosha. You want to be able to feel like you are able to be content with what you already have. It's a tricky one, isn't it? But it's getting the balance of those two things. So tapas is our body and spirits. We can encounter pain. We can encounter challenges. But as I said, they always pass. And when they do pass, we're often stronger for it. Now, I also read something on Instagram recently about how for some people, it's not like what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Sometimes it can be, you know, what doesn't kill us causes a lot of trauma, and we have to work through that trauma. Maybe we never quite recover from that trauma, but it does make us who we are. So the more we understand that life has ups and downs, and that we need discipline to sort of get through the challenges, the more we're able to accept the challenges. I know that sort of almost sounds like a contradiction, but can you kind of feel how I feel what I mean when I say that? So tapas gives us energy, strength, confidence. It's, you know, feeling like we have determination. We can put effort into things and see the change that that fire in our belly makes. And something that I really truly believe in is, you know, taking daily small steps. So have a project in mind, have a challenge in mind, have a transformation in mind, and break it down into small daily steps. And, you know, I've created a new 28-day private coaching program called Miracle Month, because when we do take daily steps for 28 days, if we use that tapas, that discipline, that fire in ourselves to do it, even on the days we don't want to do it, it can make huge transformation in our lives. And I recently shared the story of how I did it. 1 month of skincare for a friend with a new skincare brand, Patootie Skin. You should check it out. And I did the skincare morning and nighttime. Now, I'd gotten into bad habits of having a couple of big glasses of wine every night. And most of the time, I didn't want to do skincare at night. And in fact, I'd stopped doing skincare for years at night. But for this challenge for my friend, I did it every single night. I felt accountable to her. And as I did it every night, I realized that it made me feel bad about my drinking. Like, I didn't feel motivated at night. I didn't feel motivated first thing in the morning. I felt quite numb a lot of the time. I wasn't experiencing my emotions. And so that led to me deciding to not drink anymore. And as I record this, it's been over 200 days that I've been alcohol free. So you can see how, like, I thought I was doing skincare, but really what I was doing was learning that I wanted to make a big change in my life. So, you know, doing a 28-day program with me can help you understand that, okay, maybe you're doing meditation to help you become less stressed, but perhaps, you know, doing 28 days of meditation, being less stressed, having more brain space means that you can see that your job needs to change, for instance. So I'll link that program up for you if you want to have a look. All right, so the fourth niyama is swadhyaya. And this is the self-study, the daily self-exploration, spiritual exploration. If you're on a spiritual journey, it's a constant and unending one. You know, like, it's not like you get there, unfortunately. But in some ways for me, that's quite freeing to know I never get there, because I don't have to be perfect at it. I can just do what feels, you know, good for me right now and take small daily steps. So I was talking about just before. So you know, study something that you're interested in, whether that's reading, you know, a self-help book every day, read a chapter of it every day, or playing, you know, at the moment I'm sort of studying tarot cards just by doing a tarot card reading every day. You know, something, learning something about myself or about something I'm interested in every day keeps me motivated, keeps me wanting to learn more, keeps me having a curious mind. And that is so powerful for creating, you know, confidence and discipline and all those things. And in a yoga context, if you're studying yoga, and if you're practicing the yamas and the niyamas, you're going to be led to things like asana, yoga practices, poses, because, you know, that's going to help you with a pure body. You're going to learn to do meditation because that's just such a foundational practice when it comes to a spiritual journey. So really important to find time, even if it's 5 minutes a day, just to do something for you, learn something new for you. Not for work, not because the kids need to know it, but it's just for you. It's very important. And the last niyama, this is the one that I find the hardest to pronounce, so please forgive me, is Ishvara Pranidhana. And really that translates to self-surrender. So it's about surrendering ourselves spiritually. And when we do that, we provide ourselves with freedom. So we can surrender ourselves, our attachments to our possessions and our thoughts and our desires. It's kind of knowing that the universe is there to support you. And maybe it's one of those, you know, forgive me if this isn't something you believe in, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything that's happened in your life, good or bad, has led to who you are right now. And you couldn't have done that without surrendering to some point. So all of these other practices, you know, we talk about regular self-exploration. We talk about the tapas. You know, we talk about saucha. We talk about being content. We have to do all of these things to be able to surrender. So I'm not saying just lie around on the couch and $1 million will arrive in your lap. Just surrender to it. It doesn't work that way. We do need to sort of put a little bit of effort in. And that effort might just be in your own spiritual journey. But yes, we need to practice saucha, santhosha, tapas, swadhyaya. These things are all going to help you with that feeling of surrender. And when you can surrender, when you can trust that everything will work out the way it's supposed to, as opposed to necessarily how you want it to, it does give us a lot of freedom. So I hope you found that helpful. This is quite a deep topic, the niyamas, because we're talking about very sort of spiritual concepts. We're talking about things that are quite opposite to what we're taught as Westerners, you know, to want more, to do more, to have more, to be more. You're allowed to want those things, but what about being content for what you have right now at the same time? Anyway, let me know what you think in the comments. I'll put a link to the webpage in the show notes so you can click through and tell me what you think. And of course, when you click through as well, you will see that there's that little yoga video for you to practice in case you want to do a bit of yoga this week. And I thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow me on Instagram at emma.paulette and follow the podcast on Spotify.